we're actually going to talk about another systems approach. So you've been really inundated from the beginning with Sandy with systems approaches. We're going to talk about a diversity leadership demonstration project. I know I was personally really thrilled that the National Center for Healthcare Leadership obtained funding from Sodexo. Sodexo is now number one on the Diversity Inc. Top 50 list, and I'll tell you, having seen it from the inside out, well-deserved number one. I'm very impressed with how diversity leadership is just a part of the fabric of their culture at Sodexo. Rob and I were actually then able to design and implement a process of creating a strategic approach to diversity leadership inside an organization. So what we're going to do today is just do a quick overview of the project, the background of the project, and some of the key elements. Rob's going to give some details into the design, and then I'll close by talking a little bit about where we are now in terms of the assessments. There are three participating health systems currently. Two of them have completed the pre-assessment phase and begun the phase we call the intervention phase, or the actual change process. So we'll talk about the lessons that we learned about assessment, some of which are similar to Sandy's lessons as well. And is this one of my slides? I've forgotten. Yes, it still is. I've forgotten where I'm supposed to stop here. So diversity and disparities is, I think, an underlying concept that's pretty important for us to differentiate between, because oftentimes, in fact, Fred Hobby, who, anybody know Fred Hobby? Nobody? Public, you know Fred Hobby. Fred Hobby is not a public health person, but he is with an AHA affiliate, the Institute for Diversity and Health Management, and is often challenged by leaders within the AHA as well as in the hospital sector who say, we don't get this diversity and disparities business, what's the difference? Well, diversity issues can lead to disparities if you don't properly manage diversity. And that's what this definition here is all about. We also, before starting this project, looked at a lot of the literature that supports a leadership-focused systems approach. And this one, I think, was a really groundbreaking study. And this was a study of organizations, not in healthcare, but across the gamut of different businesses that were well known for their performance in diversity leadership. And what was discovered is that diversity and its approach to appropriately managing diversity and therefore ameliorating disparities is kind of complex. And that diversity itself, having diversity in race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, generation, in and of itself, is not going to make things better, but it may make them worse unless you manage diversity. Can sound like bad news, but not really. What it tells us is that we each have a lot to do in terms of developing ourselves and developing our organizations so we can find commonalities in the context of differences and build that common culture that we need to have to bond with one another, and so that we can understand ourselves, our responses, our reactions, our vision of diversity to find one that can and will work. And it is there to be had. I've seen organizations that have it. I know people who have that competency in and of themselves. And again, that same model we talked about before that talks about how alignment between strategy, what you invest in leadership development, the systems that make it happen, and the outcomes have to be aligned. And now, Rob, I got the right timing.
All right, so I'll be talking now a little bit more about the actual intervention or the demonstration project. And this project actually started in 2007. It started with a comprehensive literature review of the evidence base for diversity. And as you can imagine, there hasn't been a lot of studies that have had a more experimental design, a pre-post intervention, but more than that, that have been more system-wide implementation of diversity management. So, like Jan mentioned, we have currently three hospitals that are participating, I should say three hospital systems, two hospitals from each system. The idea is that one is going to be the experimental, the other one is the control. Then within each hospital, we choose a nurse unit that we're going to do more intense intervention with that nursing unit. And just to acknowledge the members of the Project Advisory Committee, we have eight people in that committee from different organizations, academic and non-academic institutions as well. So, like I mentioned, the goal of this project is actually to assess a system-wide intervention. And this goes beyond, you know, there's a lot of studies out there that are more case study, literature reviews, self-reported results. So this is probably one, at least that we're aware of, one of the more systematic interventions that is being implemented. Now, of course, it's not totally experimental design because, you know, you also have to work in collaboration with the organizations that are the partners in your project. So the main question that we have is, does it make a difference? Does a system-wide diversity intervention, does it make a difference in terms of organizational performance, in terms of individual, group, and organizational levels of performance? And I will be giving you what are the different performance metrics that we use in the study. So like I said, we have a control intervention hospital. For the control hospital, we're going to be doing pretty much the same assessments that we will do for the experimental, and that way we can do the pre-post comparison. But of course, for the intervention hospital, they are the ones that will be receiving the systematic intervention that will target leadership, infrastructure, and like I mentioned, the one nursing unit within the hospital. And then after 18 months, we will be repeating the assessments. And this actually kind of shows you a flow chart of how the intervention works. So we start with the pre-assessments before the even the intervention starts. Then based on that, we actually have the feedback and consultation with the leadership of the hospital. And then in collaboration with them, we design an organizational level action plan. Then it's going to be a intense 18 months of intervention where we work closely with the leadership in actually implementing the plan. Then we do post-assessments, and then finally kind of like the continuous improvement and what are the next steps after this. So in terms of what is it that we're measuring, as I said, we have individual level outcomes as well as organizational level outcomes. For the individual outcomes, we use the diversity self-awareness tool, which gets into the knowledge of diversity issues as well as behaviors and other aspects of diversity. We use also a racial ethnic identity status scale. This builds on the work by Helms in terms of our identity development, racial ethnic identity development. There is the implicit bias test that we use. I don't know if you have done that test. It's really fun to do, implicit attitude test. If you do, and this is available on the internet. It's sponsored by Harvard. But it gets into some of those unconscious biases that we may have against certain groups. So it's a really eye-opening exercise. Then on the organizational side, we have some of those surveys that are looking at climate, human resource management, not necessarily just from a diversity perspective, but from a leadership development, talent development that you need in order to, of course, have a better human resource talent to address issues of diversity. Then the ones that are more specific to diversity are the ones that Jan mentioned, the Diversity and Cultural Proficiency Assessment, the CCATH, and then there is an interesting tool that we came about, or assessment that we came about, the Moore-Barak assessment, which is specific to diversity climate, that we also use. In terms of other measures, we also are looking at financial, human resource measures, you know, the traditional financial measures that you would look at, as well as human resources in terms of the whether there are changes in terms of the diversity of the leadership, turnover, etc. On the patient side, we're going to be using hospital caps, as well as some of the clinical measures that are currently available from ARC and from CMS. Data analysis, we're going to use a quasi-experimental study design, like I mentioned with pre-post. More specifically, we're using ANCOVA with covariates, where the dependent variable would be the post-intervention scores that you would have after the intervention, and the independent variables would be the pre-intervention score, as well as whether the hospital is the experimental control, and the demographic variables of the participants. Of course, the major coefficient that we will be of, that would be of interest is the experimental, that we would expect a positive change from the intervention. So with that said, I'm going to leave the terms of what lessons we have learned thus far.
All right. So lessons learned. One of the lessons I learned personally was don't be so compulsive. I am a professor and a researcher. I am capable of putting the P on pedantic like any other professor. And I also can tend to be a little bit compulsive about wanting things to go perfectly according to plan. Life isn't like that. I've discovered that through the years. And a demonstration project isn't like that either. So and it still can work. That's the wonderful lesson in all of it. It still can work, even if it isn't perfect. Rob and I were part of a panel at the Quality Health Care for Diverse Populations Conference in Baltimore, along with the CEOs of our demonstration hospitals and the CNOs, the chief nursing officers, as well. And the diversity coach, who's actually leading the intervention, God bless her, that's a role that I think is probably the most challenging role in the whole study, is being that executive coach, that diversity leader who really leads the change process. But wonderful changes have already begun in the two health systems that have just completed their assessment process. So what works? Well, those CEOs and CNOs, we are very fortunate to have very committed chief executive officers and chief nursing officers at the two hospitals that have completed the pre-assessment so far, that are intervention hospitals. And that C-suite buy-in is what made this happen. We needed them to provide time, to provide funding, to provide other resources, and to champion the assessment process and the project itself. And with that, it simply wouldn't have been as effective. The other thing that we discovered through the process that we really needed, even more than we knew we did, was an on-site coordinator to help us gather all that baseline data that we needed in the project. And having an on-site coordinator who could assist with communication, let us know what medium was best when we're talking to nurses and the staff on the floor. Should we send them an email? They all have email accounts. Are they going to read it? Heck no, we discovered. And who helped us discover that and helped us find a communication that medium would work? It was the on-site coordinator. So managing just the logistics of getting the assessments done, an amazing job, because we're taking a vertical slice of the entire organization to get down the whole leadership chain to the nursing unit. Everyone on that unit who ever touches a patient had to be part of the pre-assessment and also will be part of the intervention phase as well. That person couldn't be just anybody. They had to be someone trusted in the system. They had to have influence. They had to have the power to make things happen and access to leadership, and they had to want to make this project a success. And just to give one statistic as an example, in one of the hospitals, they had, on previous project, about one out of three people surveyed would respond. They had a 67% response rate. And I'd like to credit us, but I won't because it wouldn't be the truth. The credit really goes to the on-site coordinator and the diversity coach, Judy Bryant, for doing such a wonderful job of creating enthusiasm in the organization for the project. What really worked well for us that is starting with qualitative interviews and focus groups. I was telling Rob many years ago I was a very quantitative statistical type. The longer I've been involved in research around diversity and cultural competence, the more I believe in the value of qualitative data because it gives you the feeling, the picture, the human side without which diversity leadership is not possible. And it let us know something about the culture and the climate and avoid some pitfalls in the rest of the assessment and intervention process. We learned the hard way that you got to involve union leadership early. One of our health systems was unionized. Things are going smoothly now. But had we had that union leadership at the first orientation meeting, I believe it would have gone even more smoothly. I mentioned already not making assumptions about internet access because someone has an email doesn't mean they're going to use it. And that we have to be adaptable. We may have a preferred mode of administration, which for us was online because, as Sandy mentioned, it does facilitate the analysis of the data, but not so if there's no data to analyze, so you have to be open to paper surveys. And communication is really key. Build enthusiasm, build awareness of the project, and it's got to be driven by leadership. If you've got a lackadaisical commitment from the CEO and the CNO, it's not going to work. You won't really have a systems approach. We also discovered when it came especially to the individual assessments, the order of administration mattered, and it was the opposite of what I came in believing would be true. I thought that the discovering diversity profile and the racial identity status, which were self-reported kinds of surveys, would be the least sensitive and better to do first, and that's what our protocol called for. Turned out people actually enjoyed doing the Harvard implicit bias assessments. We had them done across a standard array of diversity dimensions, including race, ethnicity, gender, and age. And when we did those assessments first, we got a better response rate for the diversity profile. So the other thing that we learned is those wonderful outcomes data we wanted, like patient satisfaction surveys and the EEO1 data, a little harder to get than we had thought that it would be, and often not stratified by race, ethnicity, gender, and all of those kinds of things. So we had to adapt to that as well. So we've had a lot of successes too, and some challenges in terms of interpreting the data. The ones that taught me to be less compulsive were things like, I'm going to have to flex that timetable because the data will come in a trickle rather than a stream. And then turnover will happen in the course of a project that lasts a couple of years. Success-wise, we saw a real benefit to the coach's role, especially in doing this C-suite executive coaching, one-on-one coaching, because now we have leaders who aren't so embarrassed and reluctant to self-reflect in public and understand the role of who you are personally and how you present yourself in being an exemplar of a diversity leader. So it's important to share those kinds of results in real time. I'm out of time, so I'm trying to look at this and say, what do I really have to tell you? Because I steal from Guadalupe, who made this whole thing possible, starting with the CCAP. I'm going to be very sorry and very embarrassed, so I've got to move on quickly. So the assessment results, we really are going to use them to drive this next phase, which is the intervention phase, and we're going to now in the process of completing the action plan for the second site. The first site has their action plan finished. It's an actual written plan, but actions happened in advance of the plan. And then our third site will start its pre-assessment in February, which hopefully will go even more smoothly than the first two.